Som jeg sier takk for det møte vi hørte i går. Jeg ble veldig glad og oppmuntret, samtidig som jeg ble veldig ydmyket. Fordi jeg har... I går var en stor dag på den måten at det var en tur, min kone og meg og min svigermor, vi var i landet, og så kom vi forbi Herregård og kjørte inn der. Og jeg ville vise min kone stedet, som hun ikke hadde sett før. Det hadde hun sett, men hun hadde glemt det. Og så var vi så heldige at vi møtte en mest charmerende dame ute i marken der, italiensk pige, Alicia, med en latter og et smil som man skal lete hele Europa rundt for å finne maken til. Så, og hun guidet oss rundt og viste oss alle disse her små landstykker som elevene hadde der oppe. Hun fortalte om hver enkelt, hvilken karakter de har, hvem var kunstner, hvem var superorganisert, og så videre og så videre. Det var virkelig godt. Og ja, det var sånn at jeg ble virkelig glad. Og så kom vi ned på møtet her i går, og så hørte vi disse vitnesbyrd. Det var helt fantastisk. Så jeg ville gjerne hørt mer av sånt, jeg, og mindre preken. Men jeg vet ikke om jeg skulle forsøke å si noe. Liksom, det har gått opp på meg kun langsomt. Jeg er faktisk veldig langsom når det gjelder sånne ting sosialt. Det er sånn langsomt går opp på meg hva denne skole er, hvor mange elever det er, og hvem det er som sitter der nede. Jeg trodde det var tilfeldige turister som var innom. Og derfor så har jeg vært ganske kjølig overfor dere. Jeg har vært hensynsløs overfor dem. Men jeg har lyst til ikke å være så hensynsløs. Og derfor så vil jeg forsøke på engelsk å gi en point til dem. Og forklare hva jeg forsøkte å si i går, som ikke kanskje kom frem så klart. When I refer to the biblical system of social economy, I sort of had a central line saying that's the starting point, square one, and then you have the ceiling, so to speak, in wealth, and the floor in poverty. And I try to say that dividing the land in between all the members of society, you had an A, B, and a C neighbor. And that A, because of his ability and energy, was able to produce to the full, you know, from his lot. The same C was able to. But A was a good man, a righteous man. And because he was righteous and good, he got, not only because of his energy and intelligence, but also because of his goodness and love, he got extra land to cultivate. He got richer. In other words, his wealth grew to the ceiling. C, who was only very able and very intelligent, but not a good man, not a loving man, he was able to produce to the full, but never to the ceiling. In other words, you reward goodness and love in this system. Can you see that? You can't. Okay. And if a man sort of slipped because of disease or misfortune of some kind, he might turn into poverty and sell himself or his family to slavery or to servitude at his neighbor, or he may sell all his possessions and go to the bottom line. But he would never go below the bottom line. There is a difference between the very rich and the very poor, and people who are quite rich and relatively poor, but the distinction is limited. Not like in capitalism, there is no end to your riches. In principle, one man could own everything in the world. In communism or in socialism, on the other hand, there is no end to equality, meaning that everybody is equal forever. And if you do that, you strangulate society that everybody happens to know today. And the choice whether you're going to starve or be successful is dependent on the state and the central governing powers. It's not dependent on you. In this situation B, he sells himself to A, enriching A because of his goodness. C gets his plus from his ability, but his cool heart and his cold heart and his hardness of attitude hinders him in getting higher than this. You got the point? I'll just quickly sort of turn it over to you. If you centralize economic power and social economic power, then you have the extremes in poverty In the United States today, there are 40 million people below the poverty line. There are 20 million people in Europe today unemployed. And their attitude is different from what it would be in this system. For example, in Denmark, where I live, I happen to stand outside the social security office in a little town where I lived. And young people, unemployed, they're born in a flat, they're born in a hospital, they lived in a flat, they never ever produced anything in their lives, they never had a chance. And then they go to the social security office and they kick the door in, saying, "Give us our money." You understand the attitude? As if they own the land. They never produced, they never supported anybody, but they demand to have their part. And if I pass as a taxpayer, I say, "Well, it's my money," they don't understand what you're talking about, because it's the state, it's the central power's money. You got the point? You see what I mean? In this, it's a very, very personal matter. When you people get into misfortune in this situation in Israel, when everybody has the same starting point, B deals with A, A deals with B, B deals with C, and C with B. It's a personal matter, and the choice is between people. Millions of people everywhere choose and decide individually, and nobody else decides on their behalf. The choice is theirs, the decision is theirs. They are independent people, and that's why every seventh year, you know, if you turn into poverty and ended here, you had a chance to go back to the normal state by being freed. You know that. And if you chose not to be free, you got this mark in your ear. It's a mark of disgrace, as Ellen White calls it, because God did not want people to be dependent. He wanted everybody to be independent, producing what he consumed. And you are touching on something that we have been admonished to do and start by the Spirit of Prophecy as a people, to move back to the original plan of cultivating the land and living socially and economically. And I guess you just started, or just touching it, but it's very, very good that you do that. I was myself born in North Norway, and if you think the climate is hard here and it's cold in the winter, you should come up there, because there are 9 months of snow and then a short intense summer with midnight sun, where you grow the most essential vegetables and potatoes. And I grew up with animals, cows, sheep, goats, hens, and so on. And you are dependent on these animals and birds all your life, every day, all year round, every morning, every evening. I used to hate it. It was total self-supporting lifestyle. We produced all the food we ate. We made all the clothes we walked in, our shoes, everything. We had to know everything. But you know, you were never free, you never heard of a free time or holiday time or anything. You were working all the time, and it was next to slavery. I never heard the word vegetarianism, and if I had, I would never have continued. I would have started to grow my potatoes and been happy with that, settled with that. But you know, so I understand, I personally feel I understand very easily, you know, what is spoken about in the Spirit of Prophecy on being independent and producing what you consume. But you see, in my teenage years, I turned an Adventist, became an Adventist, and since then I never worked. Never produced anything. And that says a lot about what we say as a church. You know, as a minister, Ellen White talks about having a garden, looking after your garden, planting your apple tree, is just as much a service of God as preaching his word. We don't believe that, otherwise we would act differently. You haven't got a chance, because society is determining the policy of our church in this matter. And that you start to move in a different direction is just marvelous. And I like the testimony of this man, two men up, one from Poland, the other one came from Germany, I can't remember. They loved it, and they were sort of caught up in this farming business for life. And this German, I think it was a German, he said he had never lived lower than 8 floors above street level. So it's time he came down, and they came down and made a success of it. So I like to listen to that. But the thing is, when you talk about this matter, so this was the biblical alternative to what I tried to explain to you that happens in the world today. When you centralize power and make any part of social life autonomous, you have the, as I tried to draw up, the socialist system where you divide the cake, you know, in equal parts, and as long as you keep them by force and by law equal, you diminish the output of society and end up crippling the economy as we know it from centralized economic systems. And then they think the answer is to, instead of by law forcing everybody to be equal, allow people to get more, the able people to get more, with the result that they get even bigger. And society as a whole becomes richer for a period, but then after a while it shrinks to that level or ends up in this level. I'm just trying to tell you that the encyclical of today's Pope is suggesting that this is what we are moving towards. And as communism has fallen and been defaced in front of everybody, so will capitalism, just in a matter of time, be demonstrated to be just as evil and as unrighteous and as useless for society as was socialism. And I say, why should the Pope have this argument? I can't see what the Pope should have done with this argument. I don't like him having it at all. And the very rich becomes extremely rich, as I suggested, that 4% of the population of Germany rule 90%, rule and manage 90% of German capital. That capital in general, you know, all the production system and the money system and so on. And in the Maastricht Treaty for the European Union that people work so hard to obtain, you have a suggestion of being, or making money, the bank, the central bank system, totally autonomous in society. So central bank you have is all apart, the central bank system is all apart, totally apart from government, from parliament, from the judicial system. Altogether these are linked up in the Maastricht Treaty as one big lot, and they should be divided, but they have been linked in the Maastricht Treaty. The only aspect of central government that is kept separate and independent is the central bank. The idea is that six men, believe me, six men mainly, six men will independently, behind shut doors, without any reference to anybody else, be able to decide who should profit and who should not. What is the level of interest in society and the money market? Thinking of money as if that is its own organism developing on its own universal principles, completely independent of people and society in general, even politicians. Do you see that idea, or do you understand the point of this idea? I was trying to make this point yesterday, and I tried to warn people, and I know nothing about the economy, I know nothing about central bank systems, I don't know anything about it, but the only one I hear talking about it is myself. Because I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and as an Adventist, when you read the Spirit of Prophecy, you get all these ideas very plainly in your mind. And I didn't know, I should have known, but I didn't know that you have started to the degree you have started at Herregård and here to touch on these questions. That's why I got very encouraged yesterday. And have to be respectful of the group, which I thought was a group of ignorant tourists, you know. Okay, you got the point.